I'm excited to have back on the show Canadian accomplished actor, international singer-songwriter, and director Wesley McInnes, and he goes by the stage name Wes Mack. Wes is here to talk about his latest role in the new science fiction horror TV series Imperfects and his latest single Looking for You. Welcome back, Wes. Both.
I know, it's the worst kept secret of me having multiple names. Wes Mack is easier to spell. That's literally it. I think the first time I ever did a show, like a solo music show as Wesley McInnes, I saw how they spelt my name on the marquee. And I was like, I need a stage name.
Yes.
It was not correct.
No. But I'm so excited to have you here back on the show. And, you know, congratulations on your latest role.
And thank you. It was really fun. I actually probably the last time I talked to you, I would have already filmed it, but it's one of those things where those sit in, like, you know, they go through editing and then you don't know particularly when it's going to get released. And as someone who's an actor in it, you're often kind of one of the last people to know. All of a sudden you get tagged on social media and it's like, cool, it's coming out in a week or it's coming out in a month. It's been really cool to watch that show like surface and see how it all came together.
Yes. No, I just think it's exciting. Is this your first sci-fi role?
No, I've done a lot of like sci-fi and fantasy stuff over the years, which I really love. Like as a viewer, reader, or whatever. Like I'm a big fan of that kind of stuff. It's definitely my favorite world.
Oh wow!
Anytime I get to play that kind of thing, it's a lot of fun for me. And I know some actors don't love it because it's like, there's a lot of jargon to it and there can be a lot of like interacting with CG elements that like aren't actually there on the day. But I actually kind of love all of that. I find it's a lot of fun. It's very immersive and just so different from day-to-day life. I enjoy that.
Yeah, so you get to play a character and that's what basically attracted you to the role, right? Because you like playing in sci-fi.
Yeah, entirely. I mean, and I really love the character I ended up playing in this as a fellow named Owen.
Yes.
And just, he's this very, he's a simple guy. He's like very altruistic and in a show where like basically through the machinations of a couple of scientists, a bunch of the protagonists in the show end up with their genetic structure modified in ways that, you know, powers start manifesting themselves. And rather than like in many, you know, sort of takes on that kind of idea, rather than them all being like, cool, let's save the world, they're all like, no, we got to find the scientist and get rid of this. Whereas my guy, Owen, is very much the like, oh my gosh, it's this wonderful thing. Like, and now it's my duty. And he's like very noble and like, he's interesting. He's like a really smart, stupid guy at times where he's like, he's very like nerdy and comic booky and has like a lot of interesting, you know, brain power going for him, but he has this sort of like naivety, which is really fun to play with when you're interacting with a bunch of characters who like a lot of the other folks on the show are more like their characters are more jaded or they're more cynical. And so it creates a really nice, like I had a lot of fun just like pushing buttons on people. it was a really great experience.
Yeah. So how much preparation did it take?
I mean, there wasn't like a ton I probably had to do leading into this beyond like my, you know, normal just like degree of research and character work, but there wasn't like crazy skills to pick up or anything on this one. I probably had a month or something from when I was originally cast. And I was actually just wrapping up at that time shooting Guilty Party, which is the last time I talked to you, I was talking about. So those dates almost overlapped. And then, yeah, I remember we got rolling on this and like day one was going and like punching through this like wooden column and I blew my knuckle open on like the first take. I'm like, all right, we're in good shape. It was fine. I think it was honestly a product of where we were at in the pandemic. Everyone was still just like hand sanitizing so much. So like my knuckles would have just been so dry. But it was a really fun experience shooting that first episode.
Yes, because it was filmed in, you know, the pandemic, right?
And both it and Guilty Party were like they were interesting because they were like the first things back after, like, you know, I'd spent a year leading up to filming both of these being pretty much a total hermit, you know, like not leaving my house much, and then all of a sudden you're like chucked in on set and there's tons of people. Yes. And it was, you know, a daily COVID test, and like, so I've had my nose swabbed many a time. But yeah, honestly, nothing but good things to say about it, though. Like, they on both shows, they ran such a smooth operation that you really just got to like play. And with Owen, I got to do, there's like a lot of improvisation in him that they were really cool with. Nice. Me just messing around with different takes on lines, there's a number of things in like the physical behaviors, and like that's the most fun thing for an actor is when you're given like the license to
kind of,
because I don't know, I like trying to, like, you obviously need to follow the script and tell the story, but like, I think I would rather not do 10 takes in a row of the exact same thing, because I feel like when I turn that over to a director and editor, and their job is to cut that together, I've given them no options. I've given them nothing to like to experiment with. I think I prefer as an actor to, you know, you still need to pick the cup up on the right line for it to cut together. But it's like, how do you do that? It's how I think there's actually, it's a Daniel Day-Lewis anecdote, which my acting coaches had told this story about, that basically he explained, I think it was in Lincoln, that it was, he knows for the edit, he's got to pick this cup up on the same line every time, because you don't want to be a jackass to the editors and make it impossible to cut a scene together. So you see, there's certain like limits, but he was like, cool, there's, you know, we did 20 takes and 20 different ways I can pick that cup up, and each of them would, you know, give you something a little different. And that stuff is subtle, but a good editor can then go through and have the ingredients to be like, oh no, I like it more like this.
Yes.
So I think that's, makes it more fun on the day of, and I think it gives them more options in the back end, because my job is to put a bunch of paint on a canvas. I'm ultimately not the painter as the actor, right? I'm one color in the thing. It's up to the director, editor, producers kind of thing to bring it all together.
Yes, and it takes a team.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's very collaborative at the end of the day. I mean, I end up doing a fair bit of directing of like music videos and things like that. And honestly, I much prefer when I'm editing, if I have a bunch of different variants on something, because otherwise you're just splitting hairs between very similar takes. And if you don't like the way something came together, you're kind of painted into a corner where there's not a lot you can do about it.
Yes. And you know, so you were in costume and makeup. So how was that? Like, how did that, how did you enjoy that?
Well, Owen, I spent a lot of time in prosthetics for him because I've referred to it as my copper madness, which is not what it's called in the script. Yeah. But the amount of metal in my blood gets too high. It's a long story. I start kind of turning into metal. And so you have in the makeup department did a wonderful job of putting these like plates of like metal on my forehead and my fingers turning into it. And it's tricky on a long day, because you don't want to wreck their work, but you still need to find a way to like eat a sandwich at some point. So you're trying to like not wreck this beautiful piece. So that's tricky. And then there was the color contacts for this, which are the only thing that's crazy is I wear contacts as well. So it's actually contact over contact. I was told by the tech doing it that actually can be easier on the eye kind of thing, because you still have your layer in closer that feels normal. So it's always a bit jarring. I've had to do it on another show before. Like, I have no complaints about any of it, though, because I work well with contacts, and I understand it's for the, you know, it makes it look right. But it's tricky when you're doing like some action sequences, because with the color contacts, you can't actually see superbly well. Like, you're missing a lot of your peripheral vision. So you just kind of have to trust the people around you to not like wing you in the side of the head.
Yeah. Yes. And that's where the team comes in, right? You work together to.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was, and everyone on Imperfects was like tremendous in that sense. The whole creative team, hair, makeup, costumes is like just like top notch people. So they make that stuff so easy, you know. It's the difference of, I think, in like music and acting and everything I do, one of the biggest like measures of how much enjoyment I get out of any given day is how supported you end up feeling in something. And, you know, and I've had people often ask, like, so I get to do the Shania Twain tour years ago. And that was like, you know, easily one of the highlights of my life, getting to tour with her. And I'll be asked, oh, what was that like? And I think I usually come to the one of the coolest parts of the whole tour is how well supported we were, in that it was like, and it literally goes down to like, there was amazing catering before the show every night, so you're well fed. The lighting crew was really good at their jobs. The sound was amazing on stage. Like, my band and myself were supported in every way, so that you, when you actually, it's time for you to do the thing that you're like there to do, you can do it. Whereas, you know, I've played many a abandoned bar gig in my like early days of life, where you know, you I used to play bass in my buddy's band, and I remember I would also be our sound guy, so I would hit a long bass note and I would be reaching over and mixing on the go, and like it you know, you're not as supported there, so you can't probably do your job as well. So on something like Imperfects, and you know, on a lot of the bigger shows, when they're well run, which Imperfects was, you're supported, so then you can just show up and act, which is the best part.
Yes, and this is a TV series, and so do you think there would, you know, be another series, like, you know when it keeps going, do you think?
Oh, like another season of it? Yeah, yes, well, I mean, fingers crossed. I know we had a pretty good, well, we had an awesome reception out of the gate. People seem to have really connected with the show in this first month it's been out, and I think we spent a couple weeks in the like top three in the world.
Nice.
Which is crazy, because this is like, it was a like Canadian production company, it was Nomadic Pictures out of Calgary. But we shot it out here in Van. And so it feels like this kind of, you know, little engine that could, where it's like the show came together with all these different like elements, and when you actually see the thing up on its feet, they've done a really, really wonderful job putting it together. And so I can see people, like, you know, the online feedback has been pretty wonderful. So again, fingers crossed, we get another season, get to do some more. Yeah.
No, congratulations. What a feeling, and a lot of hard work and a team.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And you can't know how any of this stuff is going to go. Like, it's so out of your hands. Like, my job is done a year and a half ago, right? But then it gets put in the hands of editors, directors, producers, and eventually it's in the hands of Netflix, and like it's in the hands of marketing teams. And so it's, you need every single layer of that to carry the ball. So you get to do more of it. So it's funny, because, you know, I sit here now talking about it, but like the last day I was Owen was sometime last summer. But it, you know, it feels fresh again because the show's out now.
So exciting. And I want to congratulate you again on your latest single, Looking For You. And I mean, you know, and also congratulations on, my understanding, surpassing 50 million streams under your stage name, Westmac.
Yeah.
I mean, tell us about the song, like Looking For You, because I think it was co-written by...
Yeah, it's co-written by a lot of people. We wrote it at a camp. Which I've done a handful of these and I really enjoy them. This is like a songwriting camp. There's like 11 of us up at it, and it's a ton of fun. You just get a bunch of people who love writing and playing music. And I think we were writing, you know, two songs a day. We were up at a cabin in the mountains. It was a blast. And then you get, you know, the guys will sit around at night and everyone's just got like guitars and a few beers. And it's just like, it's very laid back and a bunch of musicians in their element. So it came out of that. I was in the shower one morning before one of the writes, and I was like singing and humming it. And the guy who was like, who I was roommates with for the camp, was like, oh, I gotta do that one today. Like, that sounds great. And I'm like, okay, I'll bring that into a write. So, he's actually the fellow, his name's Dan Swinimer. He ended up being the producer of the song. So it was cool that he got to be probably the first person who heard it. But yeah, just getting to work in that environment is it comes down to that supported thing again, where it's like, oh, cool, you have this nugget for a song, and then you plunk it into a room with a bunch of people who are like tremendous writers who have all written like a bunch of hit songs. It makes it so you don't have to carry the ball entirely yourself.
Mm-hmm. So what's the song about? Looking For You? Like,
yeah, it's pretty simple. It's like, it's just kind of this, I I'm always bad at picking apart my own lyrics, but it's just the idea that there's like someone out there, and whether you know that or not, for you, that it's like that there's this sort of like intrinsic gravity of the universe pulling you towards them, and you and them towards you, and it just kind of like delves into that. It's not super complicated. I quite like it. I think there's something kind of charming and simple to it.
Yes. Do you get your inspiration when like you're at your cabin and around the campfire? Is that where the most creative?
I go back and forth. I do some writing out there, and I make a lot of music out there. I do a fair bit of recording out there, but honestly, I always find people will expect that that's like where you're like, oh, you're in like a quiet place and like ideas come. I find I write more when life is chaotic. I think it's largely because like I find doing something creative, like writing, where you're trying to pull something out of nothing, is really challenging if you just sit down to do it and really focus on it. I find my conscious brain is not wonderful at it, but I find my subconscious, something in the like a background process of my brain, is much better at it. So if I'm having a shower or driving my car, you know, or in the middle of a busy day, that's where I get little song ideas. And then my job just becomes trying to like write them down or get a voice note of it, so that when I want to go and write, rather than trying to pull something from nothing, I can pull that like little nugget out and go, okay, cool, this is something to work off. I've heard, I think it's might it be a Steven Spielberg thing, that he really like, he finds driving a car is like the big one for him. It part of me feels that it just has something to do with like getting your conscious mind out of your own way, is where it's, if you set out to like write a song or like write anything, and you have the agenda like, okay, I'm going to write a love song and it's going to be about this and it's going to sound like that, I find you can kind of over manhandle it, and you don't get something maybe quite as organic. So at least that's my experience. So sometimes I get stuff out of my cabin, but more often at my cabin, I'm more likely to just play music. Like I'll play my guitar and not make sort of work out of it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, like, you know, when you're in the process of doing something, like doing like driving, as you said, or
sure,
or going for, I don't know, it might be like a run or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
like
totally.
That.
I find all those activities great for, I find making my breakfast is often where I'll get them. It's just fresh, just waking up. Haven't, like, I don't know. I don't think anything's really original. I think everything that I could possibly write is derived from every other song I've ever heard in my life. That there's some just garbage dump in my brain of all these things that I've ever heard. And it's just churning around at all times. And that when you have the right moment, little things will like rise up to the surface. And if you can skim them off, that's where you get good stuff from. But like, yeah, trying to like sit down and be like, I'm going to write something entirely original. Like there's only so many notes. We've heard them all before. They all exist. They're all out there. And that doesn't bother me at all. I like to try and grab onto them when I can.
That's so inspiring. And what's the feedback been like so far?
Well, Looking For You, I haven't actually put out yet. It should come out somewhere in about the next month. I mean, I like it, and the people I've made it with like it, but I've actually kind of in that lovely spot with it right now before releasing it. I talked to a bunch of my artist friends about this. You can't release a song and not have how it's received kind of impact your like your view of it. And it's like I always try and be like, okay, I'm just gonna keep this song, is my opinion of it is whatever it is, but you can't help it. Like when I've had a song that's a commercial success that like fans like or is well received or streams a bunch, you develop like a love for it in different ways, where like I look back at a song like Duet, that's sort of the one that started my career off and gave me like a commercial music career. I'll always have this really warm place in my heart for it. I mean, I liked the song when we wrote it, but it like allowed me to do so much stuff in my life that I otherwise would never have a chance to do. So all of that to say, Looking For You is in that beautiful, innocent place right now where the world hasn't colored it for me in any way. But like, I've gotten to a pretty good place of like, that regardless of how any of my songs are received, I always like them. But if I've chosen a song to eventually put out, like I like it. It passed the test at some point for me.
And it comes from you, right?
Yeah.
Your car, and You do have an album that is called Soul right now,
Yeah,
I guess.
yeah. So I put out an album called Soul in 2019, and that's my
Yes.
most recent like full length album
Okay.
that's come out. And that one was really cool for me. That was like that was probably the most like exploratory I've been with music, and just like chasing after a bunch of different like creative sounds. I got really into listening to like Fleetwood Mac during the time of Making It. So there's a bunch of things that I was trying to do in production practices that were a little more like 70s inspired. Yeah, that one's really, that album's really precious to me.
That's wonderful. No, it's just, I mean, you're a TV actor, you're a film actor, you're a musician, you're a songwriter, you're a director. Like, how do you balance everything? You're just, I always use the word multi-talented, but I like to use extremely multi-talented.
Yeah, good question. I don't know. It's not super duper easy. I feel like I get asked this question a lot, and I feel like my answer changes depending on how I'm feeling any given day. Because some days I feel like I'm doing a great job of balancing it, and some days it feels, yeah, I'm always debating of like, oh, could I be deeper into like one of my careers or be doing a better job if I only did one thing? And sometimes I feel that way, and other days I'm like, no, I don't actually think so. I think the like ping ponging has actually been really helpful. Like it's generated a bunch of opportunities, and it like, I think mainly on like a mental health level is good for me, in that it like gives me variety in life. And like if something is frustrating, I can try something else. Or they're quite different. Like music, being an artist is a lot closer to, I think, being like a producer of a movie, in that like it's your baby. It's like it's this whole big picture, and you make the songs and you record them, and it's your job to market them, and you're the face of it, and it's this like whole product that is wrapped up in it. Whereas acting is this really tiny slice where it's like you just show up and do your little thing, but it's not my job to go and like sell the movie, you know, or edit the movie or negotiate all the contracts of everyone in the movie. Where it's kind of closer to like, if you're like a hired gun musician and you're like a touring guitar player or a studio guitar player, and you come in for 2 hours and play your tracks, and then you're done. Like I'll hire a guy to play on one of my records, and they probably work on it for a few hours, and that's the extent of their time on it. You know, this thing that will take me a couple of years probably to ultimately put together. That's kind of closer to acting. So it's nice to be able to kind of ping pong between those and have something that's just like pure, you know, creative there. But in admittedly in acting, you have probably less control over what's going on. Like I've said, like the project isn't mine. I don't know if there'll be a second season of it. Like those things are out of my hands. So yeah, you take kind of the trade-off with it. And as for the balance, it's like it's very day to day. I don't know that I have like a master plan for it. You know, people will sometimes say like, if I've had a show that's come out that's done well, or if I've put out an album that's done well, I'll catch up with friends and they go, oh, so you're doing way more acting these days, or you're like doing more music. And I'm always like, I'm probably pretty much doing all of them at the same time, all the time. And then sometimes things go better or worse. And it's like, it's totally out of my hands.
Yes, and you know, transferable skills, right? I mean,
Yeah.
you know, oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, that's helpful. I mean, that you end up picking up almost more skills than you intend to, or at least I have. Like I didn't get into this intending to be a video editor or like a colorist. Like I know how to color correct things, and it's like that's not my MO in life, but I needed to pick that skill up at some point in time to complete a project. So you do it, and I usually now I'm always trying to go like, no, I can't. Like I at one point started dabbling around and trying to do like visual effects, and then I stopped myself. I'm like, I don't want one more skill in this. Like what I want to do here, if I want visual effects, I want to hire someone. So we're just gonna stop that one.
Exactly, you know,
Yeah.
and so what is next for you?
Next for me, well, so it's getting Looking For You out, and then that's off an album, like a full album that'll come out next year. And then I mean, fingers crossed that Imperfects comes back, because it was just a lot of fun to work on. So it would be more of that. I got a Christmas movie that's coming out in a couple of months. I can't believe Christmas is impending. I was at a mall the other day, and I think it was the first week of October, and they had Christmas stuff up. And I'm someone who loves Christmas, so I'm just like, I'm never bothered by it, but I'm like, that's really early. I'm like, you're jumping Halloween now fully. They're yes. jumping thick. And I was like, all right, we're into it. But yeah, it's upon us.
And like, people want to find out more information, where can they go?
I have, so my website's westmagicmusic.com. I'm not super interactive with it. I'd say overall, like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter kind of thing would be your best bet. And that would be at westmagicmusic for any of those. That's where I like, probably on a daily basis, have something stupid to say on Instagram. It's probably the spot to follow me.
I knew from when I was very young, but I didn't recognize it as a gift. I grew up afraid because, you know, when I was just around 3 years old, I started to see and hear dead people. And for me, it was scary, not because of the fact that they were dead, but because I didn't know who these people were. I had no idea why every time I went to bed, there were strangers that would just appear in my bedroom. And I was petrified. I was even more freaked out when I found out that other people couldn't see them. It was just me. So, you know, I remember for years being so freaked out to go to bed, so afraid to be by myself, because anytime I was alone, anytime I was by myself or playing by myself was a time that the spirit world would try to come in and talk to me, connect with me, and speak with me.
So when was that pivotal moment? So you weren't scared, right? You were fearless, but it's like, when was it that you said, okay, I do have this gift and I need to help others?
So like I said, I grew up afraid of it. So for years and years and years, I pushed this away. I didn't want to sense anything, feel anything. All I wanted was to just be normal. So I did everything that I could to make the voices stop, to push these abilities away. And it wasn't until later on in life that I learned to embrace it, because I got to be honest, my grandmother was a medium who passed it on to my mom, who passed it on to me. But you got to know that my family never did this publicly. You know, they all were gifted where they could sense things and feel things and communicate with the spirit world, but it wasn't something that they practiced or things that they did actively. So, you know, for years, I had done the same thing that they did. I just pushed it away and tried to make the voices stop and did what I could to live a normal life. But growing up, I really felt a strong connection to other people. I always felt like I had to do something with helping others. But I was a little bit lost. I didn't know what that meant or what it was that I was supposed to do. So I actually started my career as an EMT. I worked for the World Trade Center in Boston for the Security Operations Department. And then I went to see a medium for the first time myself, because I wanted to see somebody who was actually using this gift, since all my family did was run from it or keep it a secret.